Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, the Wisconsin Public Radio offices are on Ho-Chunk land. Do you know what land your work or home is on? Thanks for joining us today as we talk about Wisconsin's First Nations on the show, the importance of teaching the history and also recognizing the impact First Nations currently have and will continue to have in our state. Two guests for you today. One, Alyssa Sagong, is the Director of Education at PBS Wisconsin. Alyssa, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
It's wonderful to be here with you today, Larry.
Well, thank you so much. David O'Connor, our other guest, the American Indian Studies Consultant at the Department of Public Instruction. David, welcome.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
Well, I tell you what, great to have you here. The two of them have worked hard on a website with resources for teaching and learning about our First Nations. And as we talk with them, I hope you'll join in. What questions do you have about Wisconsin's First Nations? If you're a member of a tribe, what do you wish others knew about you or your community? Maybe you're an educator. What has your experience been like teaching about First Nations? Love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Alyssa, maybe we start with you. Can you give us a general rundown of the First Nations project and the role of PBS Wisconsin in it?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Larry, I think that this really goes back to the creation of Wisconsin's Act 31, which was made in the late 80s, to require all public school districts and teacher education programs in Wisconsin to include instruction on the history, culture, and tribal sovereignty of the federally recognized tribes and bands located in Wisconsin. And that's a wonderful thing, and teachers need resources with which to accomplish that. And so in 2014, PBS Wisconsin was part of forming the Wisconsin Act 31 Coalition with partners at Department of Public Instruction, the School of Education at UW-Madison, the Historical Society, the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, UW Green Bay, and Wisconsin Indian Education Association. So bringing together a lot of wonderful and committed partners to work together to get more information about the challenges in implementing this and come together to offer resources to support it, which brought us to the creation of WisconsinFirstNations.org, which launched in November of 2017 and has been growing since then.
And, you know, maybe you could talk about the term First Nations and the language we use to talk about Native American tribes and communities. Can you do that?
I will do my best. I think this is something that you'll see actually on the FAQ section of WisconsinFirstNations.org, that sometimes as an educator, it can feel intimidating to know where to begin because it's you don't want to say the wrong thing. I think we hear that a lot from teachers, that they hear a lot of different terminology and they're worried about offending. And I think that David could speak to some of the ways that he encourages people to get past that. And one thing that we share on the website is that there are a lot of different terms, and it's okay to ask. Different people have different preferences on what to say, and we always encourage people to try to learn the name of the tribal nation that they're talking about.
Yeah, that makes very good sense. Well, David, you work as an educator and a consultant to other educators living in Madison. You're Anishinaabe, but you grew up way up north. Tell us a bit about your background and where you grew up.
Certainly. So I was born and raised on the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Reservation, northern Wisconsin. So on the shores of on Lake Superior itself. You know, grew up in a very loving family. very supportive of my education, both my parents, my siblings, my extended family, community as a whole. You know, growing up north, my whole life prior to moving on to Madison back in 2000, where I went to school for undergrad as well as grad school, and been living here since. So I'm a very proud husband as well as a proud father to two young girls. My oldest being Ava Marie and my youngest being Ellie Ann, both 5 and 3. And so definitely had some good experiences growing up in terms of up north that helped guide me into the role I'm in today, as well as my experiences educationally here down in Madison area as well.
Yeah, for sure. Well, talk about a bit more about your role and how you work with the various groups that you work with.
Certainly. So as you mentioned, Larry, I'm the American Indian Studies Consultant at the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. I'm also a grant director for some work in our state called the Disproportionate Technical Assistance Network, or the Network, specifically overseeing two components, the Network for Native American Student Achievement and the Culturally Responsive Early Childhood Project. A lot of my work at DPI centers around supporting school districts in our state, as well as pre-service programs, as well as having those relationships, partnerships with our nations, tribal nations that call Wisconsin home, and our communities as well, in efforts to provide instruction on history, culture, and tribal sovereignty of Wisconsin, American nations, and tribal communities, which, as Alyssa talked about earlier, offer reference as Wisconsin Act 31, as well as the education of Native American students in our state. Yeah. In terms of those training opportunities, I always present that numerous presentations at conference workshops throughout the state, making sure that folks are aware of some of those great resources that are available on the Wisconsin First Nations website, as well as on the DPI American Indian Studies Program website. I also serve as a liaison between our American Indian Nations in our state, tribal education departments, the Wisconsin Indian Education Association, Red Lake Senior Tribal Council, as well as a special committee on state tribal relations. And so try to work with multiple stakeholders across our state, have an opportunity to have them share the resources as well as opportunity for them to make sure that we have opportunity for our communities as well as our students to learn about the rich history of our First Nations communities and states across our state.
Well, you're making me tired just thinking about all of the various things that you're doing, because it not only a lot of different projects or different aspects to the job, but also a fair amount of travel would normally be involved in something like this. So you've got to be all over the place at the same time almost.
Certainly, you know, for a lot of times, you know, I could be one day of the week, I'd be up in Superior, Wisconsin. Next following day, I'd be in Platteville. The following day, I'd be in Milwaukee. Next day after that, I'd be up in the Rhinelander area. The end of the week would probably potentially be in the Owosso area. But the emphasis that I always try to strive is that we have great partnerships in our state with our school districts, as well as with our CESAs, our Cooperative Educational Service Agencies, and have a great relationship with them and making sure that we have annual trainings or workshops year in, year out. So,
you know, teaching this in schools and to so many groups, it implies that we'd be teaching about a group's culture, I think. And you have a definition of culture, do you not?
Certainly. Something I've learned, you know, both as in my time growing up, as well as something I learned from my experiences as growing my practice as an educator. A couple years back, I had a great opportunity to meet with a very influential community member and elder educator herself as well. And one of the things she helped me understand is how to define the word culture. And so something I always share with educators when I have opportunity to connect with them is that culture is this meaning is either relationship or relationships plus meaning. And the one thing I take from that is that culture is everywhere. It's all around us. We as human beings also have multiple cultures that make up us who we are as individuals as well.
And, you know, as I was thinking about this, a lot of times there are special times of the year and so forth when we turn our attention more intentionally to First Nations. And, you know, here we have Nation American Heritage Month as an example. But I imagine a challenge would be providing helping teachers, for example, incorporate this Native American culture as a throughout the year, as opposed to just once or twice a year.
Yeah, I think you, Larry, as you said, greatly in terms of, I always believe that this content should not just be taught as part of curriculum on just one day, such as Indigenous Peoples Day, within a single unit of study, or during a particular month, as you just talked about, being November being Native American Heritage Month. A lot of times I always try to challenge and push and guide educators to think outside that box, especially of traditional, conventional forms, and think about some of their instructional practices. So a lot of times in this effort, I always try to encourage educators to think about how they can move from teaching about cultures. And so I want to emphasize cultures. So as example, it's so pluralize that, not just being Native culture, but Native cultures, as example, in terms of having to think about how they can teach culturally with their students.
Yeah. And Alyssa, how does the First Nations projects help in that task?
Well, Larry, what we hope through working with and learning from David and all of the expertise and network of people that he brings together is really that this can be a place where you can, maybe you find it during November, but we hope that it will lead that through line so that you can incorporate this work throughout the year. There's an author, Tommy Orange, and he said that he would like to encourage us to start reassessing what you think you might know. And I think that when you begin by maybe visiting the interactive map that we have on the website and seeing what the treaty lands are that cover the state that we now call Wisconsin, that you mentioned that the WPR studios are on Ho-Chunk land. That can be a little seed that you can then take to the next step to maybe watch some videos about Ho-Chunk culture on the site, or explore some reading materials and begin unraveling your curiosity. So, for example, a teacher the other day let me know that she had read our email sharing about Wisconsin First Nations, and she teaches AP Environmental Science. And she found for the first time some videos that we have through a series that we produced called The Ways that fit into the unit that she does with her AP students that she'll be incorporating next month and in January. And that is the type of kind of seeds and sparks that we hope that this website will provide.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good information there. I've used it and some other sources working with Steenbach Library on the UW-Madison campus to develop some assignments for my broadcast class for students to produce features and pieces where they take the information from those sources. And it's a good experience, I think, for many students who haven't had a lot of chance to, or just haven't been exposed to that First Nations, as an example. Well, I tell you what, we are going to invite you to join in right now with our two guests, Alyssa Sagong, Director of Education at PBS Wisconsin, David O'Connor, American Indian Studies Consultant at the Department of Public Instruction. Great to have both of them with us as we talk about Native American Heritage Month. November is Native American Heritage Month. We have the First Nations Education Project that we're talking with them about. So questions from you about Wisconsin's First Nations. If you're a member of a tribe, what do you wish others knew about your community? Maybe you're an educator. What's your experience been like teaching about First Nations? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Natalie Guyette, our producer today, Tyler Dinner, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at the First Nations Education Project and talking with a couple of experts on the show today, Alyssa Sagong, Director of Education at PBS Wisconsin, David O'Connor, American Indian Studies Consultant at the Department of Public Instruction. And once again, join in with your questions or comments. Number 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. David, you talk about something called the three I's when you're talking to educators. Talk about those.
Certainly. So the three I's I always talk about when I have an opportunity to be in a training or workshop or webinar with our colleagues across the state. I always call them it's include, integrate, and infuse. And so the first stage I always talk about is which is where educators may introduce a resource or two in their curriculum, but they're not feeling like they're very comfortable with that content. So a lot of times I feel like what they're doing when they use that in the including stage is that they are supplanting or supplementing that resource to be their instruction rather than the other way around. So when you look at the integrating stage, is that where the educator is building up his or her content in terms of their knowledge base. And so a lot of times during that stage where they're building up their content, they also know they're grabbing resources and then plugging them at certain times of the year. So kind of like you were just talking about a moment ago, moving away from just teaching about it in a one day or unit of study or from a month standpoint, but integrating it throughout the year. But it just feels like it's just not just natural yet. And so the infusing stage is where an educator is fully implementing the resources naturally whereas throughout the year, as well as their content is built real strong, but they're also understanding that even though they have a strong, good base content, that they're still continually learning along the way themselves. So once again, the three I's is include, integrate, as well as infuse.
And how do you get them more comfortable with the content?
The content is, you know, just having them understand that you got to start somewhere. And so a lot of times is, you know, if I'm going to teach about the First Nations, I call Wisconsin home as well as the communities, I should have a strong base of understanding. And so a lot of times we look at some of the resources that are available to them to help build up that content, as well as some of the trainings or PD offered across our state. And so a couple resources and materials that I always encourage educators to use as a good starting place is a book called Everything You Want to Know About Indians, But We're Afraid to Ask, written by Dr. Anton Troyer, as well as some of the books written by Dr. Patty Lowe, which includes either Native People of Wisconsin and or Indian Nations of Wisconsin. So a couple good resources to help start that building process of helping you as an educator understand who our First Nations are in our state, as well as the communities in our state.
Yeah. Patty Lowe's books, Patty's a colleague of mine. We worked together for many, many years while she was a faculty member here at UW-Madison in my department of life sciences communication. So I know her books well, and I've interviewed her about them. Alyssa, maybe talk more about in more detail about some of the materials that folks are going to find through this First Nations project.
Sure, Larry. Well, if you visit our website, you're going to find a whole host of content that you can kind of sort different ways. We work together with David and with our other partners that I mentioned earlier to find and vet and add that content to the website. So it's always changing and evolving. And in fact, a relatively recent addition is a video in our exemplar series. You can see that in the navigation bar at the top of the website. That is video interviews with different exemplary educators who share tips and invite educators into the process of those steps that David outlined. And the newest video is actually of David O'Connor. And it's a way to bring a little bit of his wisdom in an accessible way that hopefully will provide the inspiration to attend some of the other trainings and workshops and materials that he offers. And you can also sort resources by treaty lands, by grade level, and resource type. And so, like I mentioned, I often suggest you start with the interactive map just to figure out, well, where are you, or where is the next step for somewhere you might be going and traveling in the state. And then you can start filtering and sorting from there.
That's a lot of information there. Let's go take a phone call here. Ellen in Eau Claire, we'll give you a chance. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Larry and David and Alyssa. I am a retired educator from Eau Claire. I've been involved in some of the Act 31 trainings, and I just want to say, all you educators listening out there, start signing up for these trainings. This is the best staff development I've had in my entire career. I currently work part-time in another district, and it is astounding to me after a long career in education that I'm only just now learning about American Indians to the extent that I am able to. I'm actually a school social worker, and I've even had like some requirements in my degree program to learn of different cultures and so on, but and specifically American Indians. But the amount, I can just go on and on about it. I told the screener, maybe she wants to screen me out, because I have so many positive things to say. David is an excellent teacher on staff development, and so is Paula, whose name I don't know. But in terms of the Act 31 training, they're very good, and David has been able to transition this into a Zoom format that is so far superior to the other Zoom formats that I've been involved with. And so there's that. The PBS videos will bring you almost to tears, because it's almost like lost knowledge. Like, how could we have lost so much of this really important knowledge and wisdom? So anyway, sorry. See, it really does almost bring me to tears. So thank you for listening to me blather on, and that's what I have to say.
Ellen, thank you so much for calling. Well, David O'Connor, let's turn to you. Comment.
First and foremost, I appreciate that comment on some of the trainings that are offered across our state. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's collaboration and partnership between multiple entities. And like I said, school districts definitely have a fortunate opportunity to build partnership relationships with them, with our CESAs, as I mentioned earlier, our cooperative educational service agencies. We have 12 in the state. But most importantly, definitely want to make sure that we acknowledge those First Nations communities that call our states home. So a lot of great partnerships, relationships with many individuals, as well as different leadership from those communities. And so appreciate all the good work that they do every single day, making sure that folks have an understanding about hearing their story firsthand from them. And so as you talked about with the PBS Tribal Histories, PBS Wisconsin Tribal Histories, it's great. It's a great opportunity to hear firsthand from different community members sharing their story. And so one of the things I'm very proud of, especially when you think about it, one of the videos is from my nation, Badaver Ojibwe History, it's called. And one of the individuals that is interviewed in that is my father, who just recently walked on this past spring. And so it's nice to have my kids, have them hear his story, telling from him firsthand. So,
oh, that's great. Well, Alan, I thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Give some others a chance to join in. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Jill in Racine, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Jill.
Hi. It's a pleasure to be on such a nice day. I've watched a number of programs on public TV about the Lakota in South Dakota and the Navajo. I've written Leonard Peltier 3 times, and no letter has ever come back. But the public TV programs are a good education source to learn about Native life. Sometimes I wish I shared the heritage, because the country is beautiful where they live.
Yeah. Well, Jill, thank you for calling. Alyssa, maybe a comment first from you.
Sure. I'm so glad to hear that from Jill. And, you know, I do think that public media really has the mission and the will and the patience to build the partnerships and sustain connections to do this work respectfully. And I might add, for those with young kids or grandkids, there is a wonderful PBS kids show that we have called Molly of Denali. It's about an Alaskan Native girl. It's actually the first national children's show to feature an Alaskan Native protagonist. I guess don't take my word for it. What do you think of it, David?
It's one of my favorite shows in our household. My daughters especially love when it comes on, and they always sing along to the opening theme song and love to see all the different experiences and adventures that she goes on. So with her friends and colleagues on the show. So
that is very cool. Well, Jill, thank you again. I appreciate your comment very much. And again, join in 800-642-1234. I wonder, for David, if you have a chance or offer some assistance to the many private schools that are located in Wisconsin.
Certainly, a lot of work that I do across the state, as I talked about with certain stakeholders, like their CISAs, a lot of those trainings are open up for any entity, any school district, either being public, private, charter, whatever the case may be. And so a lot of times I do have an opportunity to connect with private schools across our state who are interested in having this work be either integrated or infused into their curriculum, as example. And so one of the first things that we always hear right away is, when I get those initial contacts from different entities, is the resources. And then so obviously we point them, I point them to either the Wisconsin First Nations website and or the DPI American Indian Studies Program website, or both, making sure that they're aware of it. And so, but also at the same time, I always list off all the trainings and supports that we do across our state on my website as well. So I just want to make sure that they're aware of those different professional development opportunities.
Yeah, that's great. And those same opportunities, I guess, would be available to families where they're doing their teaching at home. They're teaching their children at home.
Certainly. And like I said, other entities that we partner with is either some of our public libraries across the state, museums. A lot of times I always try to tell folks I get the opportunity to partnership or with folks, I definitely want to take advantage of those opportunities.
Excellent. Rod in Arlington, let's turn to you now. Hi, Rod. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, we had a son who was being treated at the UW for cancer, and we met Alberta Day and her husband, who were there with their grandson, Chief, who was also being treated for cancer. We lost Chief, and a short time after, they were doing a ceremony called a ghost supper, and our family was invited, with our son being honored. He survived for another year after Chief passed, and it was such an educational opportunity for our whole family, as well as our daughters who were 4 years older, to learn more about the First Nation people of the Ho-Chunk Nation, and what an honor it was to be included.
Oh, Rod, thank you so much for calling. David, a comment?
No, I think it's what you talked about. A lot of times if you have relationships with either different individual community members or the nations themselves, so a lot of times you think about how they can welcome you into their communities as example and have opportunity to learn about them. And so, like, for me, like I said early on, one of the main things I always try to strive and advocate for is that if you want to hear about stories or the cultures of our histories of our nations and our state, definitely have an opportunity to reach out to them individually and ask for, have an opportunity to not only learn from them, but have an opportunity to establish those relationships with them.
Yeah. Rod, thank you so much. I'm sorry for your loss as well. Pat in Milwaukee, we turn to you. Thank you, Pat, for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. Aloha to you, Larry, and welcome to all your guests. I'm just absolutely fascinated. As a retired Milwaukee public school teacher, I'd like to share that Mark Denning, D-E-N-N-I-N-G, was our main resource person when I was teaching, and he traveled from school to school upon request. And when I was at Forest Home Avenue, on the south side of Milwaukee. He did an entire presentation to our school, regalia and all sorts of information and objects that were utilized by Native Americans. He currently works with the Indian Community School in Franklin, and they invite the public to many of their functions. Unfortunately, right now, powwows and other things are no longer able to be done. Also, the children in my class who were Native were taught Winnebago language. An instructor came, and I am currently proud to be a member of the Native American Elders Book Club, sponsored by Her Wellness. We will be reading Braiding Sweetgrass. So I think the more we can get the culture infused into everybody's lives, whether it be in the classroom or in the community, the better it's going to be.
No. Pat, thank you so much for calling. Alyssa, maybe a comment from you first.
It was so great to hear from Pat, and oh, what a great book read. Choice Braiding Sweetgrass is beautiful. And, you know, what I thought of as you were talking, Pat, is just pausing to think about the incredible generosity that many of our tribal nations have shown to us in inviting us in to share their culture. And remembering some of my own experiences growing up in the Milwaukee area, attending Indian Summer at the Summerfest grounds every fall, and how much generosity and that invitation to come in and learn. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah. And David, maybe a comment?
Certainly. One of the things that, first and foremost, great book, Braiding Sweetgrass. We're actually using that for one of our trainings that we're doing this fall. We call it online study circles through the network. And it's definitely for a lot of educators who are part of that professional development opportunity. It's very eye-opening to hear a lot of the things referenced in the book, and a lot of different information that's conveyed to them. And some, like you just said, for some folks, it's the first time they ever heard some of that content. Or go a little more in depth. And so we definitely want to push in a good way our educators to think about how does that tie to their own practice as educators in their classroom as well within their school as well.
Hmm. Would somebody like Pat and her group have access to that information?
Certainly a lot of our trainings that we do offer through different are open to the public as example. And but there's, like I said, we just want to make sure that we encourage folks to think about what those opportunities are in terms of how it impacts the work that they do in day in, day out.
Yeah. Pat, thank you again. It's good to hear your voice again. Pat and I and a bunch of other people from Wisconsin Public Radio spent some time in Hawaii a few years back, and it's always great to hear her voice. Thanks, Pat. Carolyn in Middleton, your turn. Hi, Carolyn.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
There is a church near Wisconsin Dales, First Baptist. It was a Caucasian church, but they had they worked with several of the Native Americans there, and I believe Reverend Bill Thompson, he was pastor, and he was Native American, so they were able to start bringing the Caucasians and the Native Americans together to speak to one another and learn about the culture. And it is absolutely fascinating. I've gotten away from some of those members in the Dales, but my question was, one of the ladies was trying to translate. She's a former educator. I forgot her name, but she was trying to translate the language, which was very difficult. But there were some other teachers as well who was trying to get this information done. Is there any information regarding translation about Native American people's tongues?
Well, David?
So some context, a lot of our nations across Wisconsin, a lot of them have what we call language divisions or departments. And so think about having an opportunity to reach out or connect with some of those nations divisions or departments and have an opportunity to see what possible partnership relationships you can have in terms of maybe having that be a possibility. And so not every nation has one, but in terms of a good number of our nations do. A lot of our nations also, every one of our nations in Wisconsin do have tribal education departments and great contacts or stakeholders to reach out to in terms of work that you're interested in doing.
Yeah. And how do we find those? Where would we find them online? What would I type in my search engine?
Certainly. If you have opportunity to go to my website, as I referenced a couple of times, the DPI American Indian Studies Program website, underneath the resources section, I do have a list of contacts for both the tribal education departments as well as those for what we call our tribal historic preservation offices in our Wisconsin. And so it's underneath the resources section of the DPI American Indian Studies page. And like I said, both includes their contact information being either their telephone and or their email.
All right. Carolyn, thank you so much. Colette in Eagle River will turn to you now. Hi, Colette.
Hi. I just want to get a shout out and find out any of you are know of Jeff Ryan. He's a social studies history teacher in Prescott, Wisconsin, and runs the most excellent American history courses. He has a relationship with the band in northern central Wisconsin, which suddenly escapes me. And he brings busloads of kids to the Waswanagan program that they run over there in Lac des Flambeaux. So he has brought drummers and singers to the Art Center in Prescott. It's a Great River Roads Art Center, and I can't say enough good things about him.
And his name was
Jeff Ryan.
Actually, Jeff is one of our teacher exemplars that we have a video about his work where you can meet Jeff on WisconsinFirstNations.org. So what a wonderful testimonial to his work.
Oh, yeah. Colette, thank you so much. And Alyssa, you did mention the website, but let's mention it again so that people know where to go to find this information.
You go to WisconsinFirstNations.org.
And nations with an S.
That's right. WisconsinFirstNations.org. And if you want to meet the teacher that Colette just shared with us, you can go to the exemplars tab at the top of the page. You can learn more about David and about Jeff, as well as some other wonderful educators in our state.
And David, as we conclude again, give the site again for people to go through the Department of Public Instruction to reach you and what you have.
Certainly. So it's the DPI, American Indian Studies Program. So the address is dpi.wi.gov/AMIND.
AMIND.
Correct. And it's once again, that's the DPI American Indian Studies Program.
Well, this has been a great conversation. I want to thank both of you for taking the time to be with us today. I think we all learned a lot, and I hope we have a chance to do this again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. Thanks, David. Great to be here with you.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Larry, for the opportunity. Yeah. Thank you, Alyssa.
Alyssa Sagong is the Director of Education at PBS Wisconsin. Really, go to that site. It is great. A lot of really good information presented in a way that is informative and entertaining and thought-provoking. Same for David O'Connor, the American Indian Studies Consultant at the Department of Public Instruction. Both of them doing great work, and it was a pleasure to be able to talk with them. We're going to continue to talk about some Native American issues, but this relates to diet and companion planting in your garden. We'll talk about that next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mehler.